أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. One of the reasons why fast has become obligatory for us, as is mentioned in the Quran, is that we gain taqwa. Taqwa is translated in different ways. God-wariness, to be aware of God, to fear God. What the very common meaning of taqwa is having respect for what Allah instructs us, having regard for God. That's the fear. Sometimes there is this question that should we love God or should we fear God? Every love goes with fear. When you love someone, you would fear that you may hurt them. You would fear that you may not fulfill what they want, what they expect from you. So every love goes with fear. You cannot just love someone without fearing certain aspects of your relationship. Total fear is not good. Love without fear is not possible at all. So taqwa is that fear from God which stops us from transgression, from going beyond the limits. Now, the Quran says in Surah Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fast has been written on you. Or it means it has been made obligatory upon you. As it was on those before you, it means every nation, every religion had to keep fast in certain times. This is part and parcel of worship. You would see every spiritual people in the world, those who are serious in their spirituality, they have some period of fasting. Now, what is the reason it has been written on you, written upon you, it means it has become obligatory on you, so that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you find you increase taqwa. Now, there are many beautiful concepts in this verse, but one of the things which is mentioned here is, and is very important, is this notion of hopefulness. La'alla, maybe, in the hope of, in the expectation that you become fearful of God. It means that if you do not fulfill the conditions of fasting, taqwa wouldn't come. Taqwa will only come if you fulfill the conditions of fast. If you meet the requirements, as we mentioned in the past few nights about all these conditions and requirements. So, mechanically, automatically, fast would not bring taqwa. But if you fast, fulfilling all the conditions of fast, then of course taqwa will come. Now, what is taqwa? What is taqwa? As I said before, the Quran doesn't talk about abstract things. Doesn't talk about imaginal things. Taqwa is to have fear of God in your mind. No, in your mind it doesn't mean anything. It has to show in your action. Iman, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. They say, oh God, we believe. Then Allah says, what are the practical manifestation of their faith and belief? الصابرين والصادقين والقانتين والمنفقين والمستغفرين بالأسحار. These are the practical manifestations of their faith. For everything, there is a practical manifestation. Whenever a group, we have in many traditions, different groups came across the Prophet, peace be upon him, or Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, and they said, we are believers, or they said, we are your followers, we are your Shia, Ya Ali. And they asked, what are the signs? What are the practical manifestations of your faith or of you being a Shia? What is the practical manifestation of it? So taqwa should have practical manifestations as well. Now in the Quran, there are numerous verses which talk about the practical manifestations of taqwa. If you are muttaqi, if you are a person who fears God, it should show itself in your action. Now, one set of verses that I have chosen to discuss tonight, and then you can gauge yourself whether your fast has worked in that la'alla or not. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Fast is written upon you as it was written upon people before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ, in the hope that you find taqwa. Now, at the end of Ramadan, you just measure yourself with these practical things that I'm mentioning here from the Quran. You measure yourself whether your fast has increased your taqwa or not. If it has increased your taqwa, then it means that your fast was a true fast. It was something accepted by Allah. And when we say accepted by Allah, Allah does not accept or reject it arbitrarily. That I accept this because I like this person, I reject it because I don't like. No. It means it met the requirements. It fulfilled the aim and hit the target. That is the meaning of acceptance. So, let's look at this set of verses in Surah Ali Imran, talking about muttaqin, describing them. وَسَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغَفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Hasten towards forgiveness from your Lord. Sari'u is from musara, it means we compete in rushing. Competing about this world has been condemned in the Quran. We compete to have more wealth, more power, more fame and reputation. Competition in these things are just elusive. They drag us away from our purpose of life. It's very bad. Competition for dunya is very bad. But competition for akhirah is not actually competition, because there is no competition in the world of, in the realm of Allah. There is everything in plentitude that you don't need to compete with each other. Everywhere you go, there are plenty of things. You have to compete to give rather than compete to take. So when we talk about competition about hereafter, it is just a simile towards what we do in this world. If you want to compete in anything, compete to gain maghfirah from Allah. As I said, there's no competition here because everyone can gain it. But Allah is giving us a simile of what we do in this world. Or in Surah Hadid, for example, we have wasabiqu. It's again competition. Musabaqa is competition. Sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Compete in hasting towards a maghfirah from your Lord. Now, how could we gain maghfirah? Again, it's not just by sitting and saying, oh Allah, forgive me. No. It should manifest itself in your action. This is what the verse is saying. I read it for you now. The ladies, if you want to speak, please do not shout. Why you shout when you speak? وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And compete to go towards a garden, that's paradise, the size of which is the size of heavens and earth. That's the whole universe. The whole universe. You know, sometimes we think, why Allah has created all these stars and planets without anyone inhabiting them, living on them? Well, wait. The universe has not yet fulfilled its purpose. It hasn't yet come to where it should arrive. Inshallah, when we are resurrected, we will see that all these planets and stars will be used. Because paradise is huge, as universe is huge. And when it says the size of it is like the size of heavens and earth, that's universe, because we don't know a bigger size. Of course it's bigger. Because we don't know a bigger size, it says just like universe. And who knows what is the magnitude of universe? Several thousand of light years we go, we don't reach its boundaries. Now, this is prepared for what? U'iddat lil muttaqin. This is prepared for muttaqin. Now, who are muttaqin? This is the question. This is the question which these verses are going to answer to us. Who are the muttaqin? As I said, no abstract definition. The Quran is not fond of abstract definitions. That's why you see most of the sublime concepts are given in form of stories of people. No abstract. Who are muttaqun? Or for example, in Surah Ra'd, we talk about ulul albab, and then Allah describes them practically. Who are ulul albab? الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ. These are ulul albab, men of intellect. Now, who are muttaqun? أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who share what they have in time of ease, in time of difficulty. When they are poor, when they are rich, they give. This concept of taqwa, it appears in the last few nights that we have discussed, it comes up again and again and again, isn't it? It seems it's part and parcel of taqwa. It cannot be separated from mu'min. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالْذَرَّاءِ. Sarra means when they are comfortable, happy. Dharra means when they are in hardship. Whether they are in hardship, whether they are in comfort, they share what they have, they give. It means infaq is actually an attitude. It is not important how much you give, how much you have. You may have millions and you may give part of it. You may have just a few pounds and you may give a bigger chunk of it. This is more important than the other one. So infaq is an attitude. It's not the question of money. Allah doesn't need our money. Allah can feed everyone. It's the question of attitude that we should have. So, يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالذَّرَّاءِ. Actually, the kuffar in Surah Yasin, you all probably know this by heart. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنفِقُوا. When they are told to do infaq, قَالُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. Why should we give them? If Allah wanted, He would have given them. Yes, they are right. If Allah wanted, He would have given them. But He didn't want to give them. He wants you to give them. He wants you to interact in this life. So, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالزَّرَّاءِ. Take the example of Amirul Mu'minin. I think Amirul Mu'minin was one of the poorest companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him. At the time he was caliph, before that, because whatever he had, he gave. And we have one story that once he went home and he asked if there's anything at home to eat. This was at the time of the Prophet. And Fatima said, no, we don't have anything. For a few days. Ali alayhi salam was surprised. But you gave me food. He said, yes, that I kept only for you so that you do not realize that we don't have anything at home. And I didn't want to burden you because I didn't know you don't have anything. We just preferred yourself over ourselves. Because had you known we don't have anything, you would have felt ashamed. I didn't want you to do that. So Amirul Mu'minin became very ashamed at that moment. He went out and borrowed 1 dinar from a Jewish man to go and buy food for his family. He came on the way. He saw, apparently, Maysa Mutammar, if I'm not mistaken, remembering the hadith. In the middle of the day, in the heat, he was sitting outside under the sun's heat. And he asked him, what's happened? Why are you sitting here? Why don't you go home? He said, because I'm ashamed of my children. I don't have anything to give them. If I go home, I see them, I become ashamed, I don't have anything. Ali gave him the 1 dinar and said, okay, you go and buy. I be ashamed is better than you be ashamed. This is الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالزَّرَّاءِ. They are rich or they are poor, it doesn't matter, they give. So, this is the first manifestation of taqwa. Here is this charity. This charity is the first manifestation of taqwa. Taqwa is not just irfan. You sit and contemplate about God. That's good, but that is not taqwa. When you come in relation to people, the first manifestation of taqwa is to share what you have, is to help others who are in need. Second, now let's judge ourselves. I'm sorry that when I read this, I think that I am a failure. I am a failure. Reading these descriptions of muttaqin, u'iddat lil-muttaqin, that paradise is prepared for muttaqoon. Who are the muttaqoon? Alladhina yunfiquna fi s-sarra'i wal-zarra' wal-kadhimin al-ghaydh. And those who suppress their anger. You know, ghayr is different from ghadab. Ghadab, wrath or anger, is when you become angry and you intend to punish. That's why Allah has ghadab. Of course, He doesn't become angry, but He has intention to punish, to somehow retrieve, to put things right. Ghayz is a sort of attitude when you are somehow boiling with rage. So we cannot say Allah has ghayth. Allah never boils with rage, because this is an attitude of human beings. Allah has ghazab, that's intention to punish. Ghayth is when you boil with rage and then you intend to punish afterwards. This boiling with rage is ghayth. What is kadhm? Have you seen these water skins they use for carrying water? Water skins, we have the image of it in Karbala and other places. When they fill the water skin with water or something else and they tied the top of it, the opening, that was kadhm, tying fast the aperture of a water skin. That is kadhm. Now, what is kadhm ul ghayth? When you are boiling with rage, you just tie your soul tightly. You don't let it come out. That's why they call it swallowing of the anger. It's not actually swallowing. You keep it inside. You boil with rage, but you tie it. You tie the top part of your sort of soul so that it wouldn't pour out. This is kadhm ul ghayth, wal kadhimin al ghayth. It's very difficult. We have to seek refuge in Allah. When we get angry, we don't know what we do. But of course, men of God, for men of God, it was easy. For Malik Ashtar, it was easy. Malik Ashtar was, we know of Malik Ashtar as a brave, strong commander of Amirul Mu'mineen. Usually soldiers, we don't expect from soldiers to have this kadhm ul ghayth. Once he was passing by in Kufa, in the street, and he was a very frugal man. He was the commander, but he didn't wear like commanders. He was passing by, and because he was a stranger in Kufa, one of the youngsters in Kufa started to mock him and then threw some vegetables at him, because he thought, this is a stranger, I can do whatever I want to him. I have my clan here, I can do whatever I want. Malik just looked at him and passed. Someone told him, may your mother mourn you. Do you know who this man was? He said, no, who was he? Oh, the stranger. He said, this is Malik Ashtar, the commander of the army of Ali. The boy trembled. This man is going to cut my head. No mistake. So he rushed to go to apologize. And he rushed, he followed him. He went to the mosque, and this young man went to the mosque with him and fell upon his feet. Please forgive me, please forgive me. He said, what has happened? Who are you? What has happened? He said, I threw vegetables at you. He said, oh, I forgave you there. Now I have come to pray to ask forgiveness from Allah for you. This is kadhm ul ghayth, you see? Of course, he didn't have anger probably at all. Or maybe he was angry. I mean, when you go pass in the street, when you are the commander of the army and someone throws something at you, you become angry. But this was how he behaved. One of the cousins of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam came to his door. He had some grudge with him. I don't know what was the problem. He shouted, calling him out, come out. I want to square to set my account right with you. Imam came out. He started to swear at him. You are such and such. Imam didn't say anything. Of course, everyone gets angry. The Imam gets angry as well. He didn't say anything. The man left. He went inside, sat for a while, and then said, now I'm going to respond to this man. Everyone was curious, how is he going to respond? What is he going to do? He said, they asked probably, and he said, would you like to come with me? And everyone, of course, were curious. Yes, of course, he wants to come with you. A big crowd started to follow Imam Zainul Abidin to the house of that man. I don't want to name him. And Imam Alayhi Salam called his name. And he thought that now we are going to have a fight. He came out. Imam said, you said me things, and at that time I didn't want to answer you. Probably because you are on my door or in my house. But I have come to say this now to you. If what you said about me is right, all those bad things you said about me is right, I ask Allah to forgive me. And if they are not in me, and you are accusing me, I ask Allah to forgive you. That's my response to you. This is the behavior. And then the man said, no, they are not in you. He kissed between the eyes of the Imam and said, they are not in you, they are in me. I am wrong. This is how they behave. When they encounter such a treatment, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. And those who forgive people, those who forgive people, how much forgive? How long? For how long forgive? There is no limit. There is no limit. Forgive as long as you expect God forgives you. As simple as that. Now, some people say Islam is the religion of peace. I don't understand the meaning of this. The religion of peace, what does that mean? Of course, a religion is something which takes us towards God. And of course, there's peace in Islam, there's war in Islam. It doesn't have any meaning, it's just a sort of a slogan that nowadays have come about to counter all this violence that we see in the world of Islam. Religion of peace. But there is one thing that we can say for sure. Islam is religion of forgiveness. Forgive. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. It's very interesting. You do these three things. You share what you have with people. You never become angry, or if when you become angry, you hold yourself. Calm is very difficult. As I said, you are boiling with rage. You just hold fast your throat so that you don't say anything. This is calm. Wal kazimin al ghayth. And forgive. Afina an nas. Then Allah loves you. Allah loves you. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. You become a muhsin. You become a good doer. Of course, Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. And then the way Allah rewards muhsinin, as is mentioned in Surah Yusuf, in Surah Qasas. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Do you know what do we give to muhsinin? We give them hikmah, wisdom, we give them knowledge. We may give them money, we may not give them money. That's not important. Money is not important. Money may be good, may be bad. But wisdom can never be bad. Knowledge can never be bad. So, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. There is a continuation to this description of muttaqin that inshallah I will continue with it tomorrow. So, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fast has been made obligatory on you as it became obligatory on was obligatory on people before you, so that you gain taqwa, And these are the outward manifestations, practical manifestations of taqwa that we have to gain, inshallah, through our fast. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us, inshallah, the qualities of muhsaneen so that we would be loved by him. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.